أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. Verse number 165. ومن الناس من يتخذ من دون الله أندادا يحبونهم كحب الله والذين آمنوا أشد حبا لله ولو يرى الذين ظلموا إذ يرون العذاب أن القوة لله جميعا وأن الله شديد العذاب. Among the people are those who set up compeers besides Allah, loving them as if loving Allah. But the faithful have a more ardent love for Allah, though the wrongdoers will see when they cite the punishment that power altogether belongs to Allah and that Allah is severe in punishment. If you remember, the previous verse, number 164, talked about the signs of Allah, ayatullah, inna fi khalq as-samawati wal-ard wa ikhtilaf al-layli wan-nahar. In all those things which were mentioned, a long list of signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala were mentioned there, showing that the tadbir of this world, the management of this world, is in the hand of one manager, one mudabbir. And then now here it says that despite all those signs, despite all those proofs about Allah's presence and Allah's management of the world, there are some people who take besides Allah andad. Andad means amthal, means similar, things which they equate with God. Now, equating things with God means that what we do, we give the Asma of Allah, we give the qualities of Allah to them. This is equation. And this is about, this is mentioned also in Surah Al-Fussilat, وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَاتْؤُوهُ بِهَا وَذَرِ الَّذِينَ يُلْحِدُونَ فِي أَسْمَائِهِ. Leave those who deviate in his asma. Deviating in his asma means ilhad. Ilhad means that you attribute the qualities of God to other things, or attribute the evils of others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This happens many a time, even for the believers it happens, that we confuse things that should be attributed to God and things that should be attributed to us or to others. With regards to mu'mineen, this happens in this way, that, for example, something happens to us, or, for example, we feel a bit distanced from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we think that Allah is doing it. While Allah is constant, Allah doesn't change. Allah is always there. His mercy is pouring down all the time. What has happened? Something has changed in us. Nothing has changed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing ever changes in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, when we have a change of attitude, when, for example, we feel distance from Allah, because of what we have done, because of our inner feelings, we attribute it to Allah. Oh, Allah doesn't want to talk to me. Allah doesn't want me to go close to him. This is how we do ilhad in his asma. Of course, this is very subtle ilhad, not very clear ilhad. We attribute things which belongs to others to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or attribute things which belong to Allah, like, for example, tadbir, management of this world. Like rizq, giving rest to people, to everything and everyone. Like power, we attribute them to others. This is actually equating others with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this confusion causes, for example, shirk, causes people worshipping idols, causes people attributing things to prophets, to imams, to saints, to angels, which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, does not belong to them. And this confusion creates love. You see, if we think that something has power, if we think that something has some sort of influence, we start to have some attachment to them, like idolaters have attachment to their idols. Or sometimes this attachment is to ourselves, for example. And of course, the believers should love Allah more than themselves. What does that mean? It means that they should not attribute their shortcomings to Allah. Rather, they have to do it to themselves. Anyhow, despite all those sounds that they see, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَتَّخِذُ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا, there are people who take andad, equals to Allah. Equals to Allah, as I said, in terms of their influence. And then because they think that there is some influence there, يُحِبُّونَهُمْ كَحُبِّ اللَّهِ, they love them in the same way as love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, here exegetes have some problem, because if these people love those things, if they are mushrik, they shouldn't love Allah. They may not believe in Allah at all. They have actually mentioned three possibilities here about yuhibbunahum kahubbillah. First is that kahub they love those things like the way mu'mineen love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because they don't love Allah, they love those things. They love those things the way mu'mineen love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, love is something that we have towards many things. We love our children, we love our spouses, we love our parents, we love our friends, we love many things in this world. However, this should not be like our love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is something very different. We can actually distinguish between different types of love. For example, the life for a spouse is very different from the life for children, is very different from life for parents or for friends. And we realize that the love for Allah is also something different from all these other types of love. Allah doesn't tell us that we should not love anything in this world, and our love should only be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we should not love things or people the way we love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is love of dedication, of marbubiyah. We know that we are sustained by Him. This is a different type of love. So one can say that they love these things the way the believers love Allah, or the way love should be dedicated to Allah, they love these things. And some others say that, well, the mushrikun also believed in Allah, or there are many people who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala but love other things as well, and they confuse between these things. They love other things the way they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And some have said that yuhibbunahum, yani yuhibbuna ibadatahum aw at-taqarrub ilayhim, like hubbul ibada wa at-taqarrub ila Allah, the way they love worshiping God, they love worshiping them as well. So these are different meanings. And also these andad, there's another sort of disagreement here about andad. Are they idols, or there are other things that we equate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in certain aspects, or they are leaders? Sometimes we are so infatuated with a leader, with someone, that we follow them the way we follow Allah without questioning. The way we follow Allah, how is the way we follow Allah? We have to follow Allah without question, isn't it? Now, if we follow someone in this world without question, then of course that is like love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or someone who is not authorized by Allah to be followed, like for example prophets or a'imma who are not authorized. That's why there is one hadith from Imam al-Baghir alayhi salam, who said, Jabir ibn Abdullah Ansari mentions that, إِنَّهُ قَالَهُمْ أَئِمَّةُ الظَّلَمَةِ وَأَشْيَائِهِمْ, يحبونهم كحب الله. Like for example, they love these leaders, أئمة الظلمة, the leaders of ظلم, like the way they have to follow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Love here means following, of course, means obedience and complying. Allama Tabatabai mentions one other thing here, and that is sometimes we love spiritual things the way we have to love, like angels, for example, like prophets. We love them the way we have to love Allah. What does that mean? The way we love Allah means we attribute to them things which belong to Allah. That's why even for our A'imma alayhimus salam, sometimes this confusion came. And especially we had this ghulat extremists at the time of A'imma who attributed many things to them which belongs to Allah. That's why they said, you know, there's always this danger of exaggeration and also falling short of their position. And what the A'imma alayhimus salam said was that anzaluna min al uluhiyya wa qulu fina ma shi'tum. Bring us down from uluhiyya. Do not attribute to us things that belong to Allah. Then you can say whatever you want about us, because whatever you say even falls short of our merits. However, for example, to think that they give rizq to people, they answer prayers, we have to pray to them, these are the things which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They manage this world. These are the things which belong to Allah. So this is uluhiyya. Anzaluna min al-uluhiyya. Bring us down from uluhiyya. Then tell us whatever. Yes, ibadun najahum fi fikrihim wa kallahum mahum fi dhati ugulihim ulul hija wa ulul nuha wa ulul amr. Everything you can say about them. However, not attributing things to them which belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allama Tabatabai generalizes this to other sort of spiritual attachments that people may have. وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّ حُبًّا لِلَّهِ. Those who believe in Allah have stronger love. And also the exegetes here have said that this shows that love for Allah can increase and decrease. This is something that we can experience ourselves. Again, you see, this is very important. This confusion should go out of our mind that it is Allah who does these things. That, for example, he increases love in our heart or decreases. Allah is always pouring down his blessings. It is us who change. And because of the change of our attitude, then love decreases in our heart or increases. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُغَيِّرُ مَا بِقَوْمٍ حَتَّى يُغَيِّرُوا مَا بِأَنفُسِهِمْ. Allah is constant. He never changes anything to any people, for any people, unless they change what is inside them. When they change what's inside them, things change. They are distanced, they are abandoned, and all. Well, they feel they are abandoned. They actually have made themselves abandoned. It's them who do it. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابُ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. Now, this law has two meanings. One is for tamanni, the other is for shart. Tamanni is to wish. And shart is condition. So, لَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا may mean, I wished that the ظَالِمِين would have seen what happens. If it's conditional, it means, if had the ظَالِمُون would have seen what would happen to them. Now, both of them have a place here that we can actually translate this verse based on both meanings. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابُ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. I wished that ظَالِمِين would have seen that when they see the عذاب, the power only belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or had ظَالِمُون seen when they see the Azab, that all the power belongs to Allah, they would regret. Now, this is, of course, the jaza or shat, the second part of the conditional, is omitted here. We know that they regret when they see that. Now, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, all power belongs to Allah, shows that why this ظالمون become, why they regret, because in this world, they attributed to his power to other things. So on that day, when they see, when everything appears, the haq discloses itself, they see that nothing has any power. No one has any power but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا. I wished they could have seen. لَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ. They could have seen when they see the punishment that all power belongs to Allah. Now, this is what will happen on the Day of Judgment and in Akhirah. I have mentioned this before. This is Darul Mulk. This is not Darul Malakut. Akhirah is Darul Malakut. Malakut is the stronger kingdom of God. When his kingdom or where his kingdom is apparent. Here in Alamul Mulk, what we see is a chain of causes and effects all the time. Now, this chain, of course, works because Allah is empowering it. Allah is giving it the influence that it has. So this chain works. You cannot find anything in this world, in Alamul Mulk, which doesn't have a cause behind it. We may not know it, but we find it. Gradually we will find, human beings can find the causes behind every effect. And that's why science advances, that's how technology is brought about, when we know about these causes and effects. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is hidden behind this chain. We don't see it. Unless we see his signs, unless we realize that this chain is working because of him, we cannot see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In Akhirah, it's absolutely the opposite. This chain of causes and effects would not go away. However, this chain of causes and effects hides behind the manifest power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is on that day that we see power of everything, of sun, of moon, of earth, of human beings, of jinn, of shaitan, everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ. الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا means who? Those who يَتَّخَذُوا مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ أَنْدَادًا. They take equals for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are ظالمين. If they see that all power belongs to Allah, that they will see. On that day, they will see. In Akhirah, we will see that power only belongs to Allah. That's why we call that day Yawmul Haq. That's the day of truth. And we say, Malik Yawmuddin. You are the possessor of Yawmuddin. It means you are, your mulk, your ownership is quite manifest. If they see, if we take it as a conditional, it means if they see, when they see the azab, the punishment, that all power belongs to Allah, then they will regret what they used to do or they used to believe in this world. If we take it as a tamanni, wish, I wished that Zalimun would have seen that when they see the azab, all power belongs to Allah. I wished before that day they could see this so that they could refrain from what they do. وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. And Allah is severe in punishment. Allama Tabatabai has a philosophical sort of discussion here about how is it possible that Allah with his mercy be شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ, is severe in punishment. And why الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ, they see the punishment. What's that punishment? He actually argues that we know that the attributes that we give to Allah, the qualities that we attribute to Allah, are not like us, our quality. For example, we have mercy, Allah has mercy. Our mercy is driven by softness of the heart, by pity, by things which are due to being impacted by something from outside. Now, we know that nothing can impact Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his mercy is not like our mercy, that, for example, he feels pity for someone, or he's soft-hearted or something like that. He is impacted by our misery. No. His mercy means that constantly he's pouring down his blessings on whoever can receive it, can take it. And this, we mentioned that it's a mercy of Rahmaniya and mercy of Rahimiya. I don't want to enter into that discussion. With regards to azab, it's the same thing. Allah is not revengeful. Allah is not angry. For example, that because you have not obeyed, I want to punish you. Because you did that, I want to punish you. It is the consequences. It is the type of personality which we form in this world that brings those punishments. And those punishments are severe, are hard. And this is why it's called إِنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. Allah is severe in punishment. Then Allah Tabatabai says that the deprivation from those blessings is the hardest azab that people have. This I add to what he says. When we are self-centered, when we are focused in ourselves, we are always in azab, even in this world. If we are self-centered, if we are focused, because we cannot attain whatever we desire. And we are always in azab. We have greed, we have jealousy, we have pain of not achieving things. Now, in akhirah, this becomes much greater. Much greater, because we are self-centered, we focus in ourselves, we see the power of God, it doesn't belong to us, we see the blessings of others, we don't have them, and this punishment is becoming so painful, more painful than fire that we know in this world. It's interesting that sometimes people say that even those people who are in hell, they think that Allah should be here and I should be sitting in his place. This is what Iblis said actually to Allah, isn't it? That self-centeredness, that he said to Allah that, فَبِمَّا أَغْوَيْتَنِي. You were wrong, you deceived me, and I slipped, of course, but I show you my power. You see, this helpless creature, this stupid creature wants to show his power to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is, of course, a punishment. This is the punishment. And this punishment in that world where Allah's power manifests itself would become much more severe. So if they had seen, or I wish they had seen, the zalamu zalimin, when they see the adab, which is because of their own selves, because of their own souls, when they see the adab, أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا, that all power belongs to Allah. On that day, when we see all power belongs to Allah, there is no shirk anymore. Now, if there is no shirk, why we are in hell? Well, it's because the shape that our soul has taken. Now, the biggest shirk is ourselves. We see the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We see that there is no one who can have any influence, but we cannot take it. We tell lies. People tell lies to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As we have in Surah Mujadila. يَوْمَ يَبْعَثُهُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا فَيَحْلِفُونَ لَهُ كَمَا يَحْلِفُونَ لَكُمْ. When we resurrect them, they come to us, they swear lies to him the way they swear lies to you. Why? Because this is their habit now. They cannot change it. And this brings them punishment. So, وَلَوْ يَرَى الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُوا إِذْ يَرَوْنَ الْعَذَابِ أَنَّ الْقُوَّةَ لِلَّهِ جَمِيعًا وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْعَذَابِ. Now, the conclusion from the verse is that all the signs that we mentioned, you see that there is one management. People in different parts of the world worship different gods. In the past especially, they worship different gods. However, everywhere in this planet, whether they worshipped Jupiter, or they worshipped Amun, or they worshipped Ishtar, or they worshipped Lat and Uzza, Everywhere in this world, rain came the same way. Children were shaped in wombs the same way. Children came to this world the same way. So this shows that these different gods are just illusions. There's only one God, one Rab, one person who is managing all these things. And those signs were mentioned that Allah says, despite those signs, some people take equals for Allah. And then on the day of judgment, what they see is that all those equals were actually illusion. And then that brings them the azab. And as I said, these equals may not only be idols, maybe people, maybe angels, maybe things which were maybe oppressors who actually made people to follow them because of some sort of propaganda or anything like that. And this following verse actually corroborates that. In verse 166, إذ تبرأ الذين اتبعوا من الذين اتبعوا ورأوا العذاب وتقطعت بهم الأسباب. When those who were followed will disown the followers, and they will cite the punishment while all their means of recourse will be cut off. تقطعت بهم الأسباب. Now, on that day, those who were followed would say to their followers, well, you had no right to follow us, or you shouldn't have done it. We, of course, called you to follow us, but you shouldn't have done it. Especially Shaitan. We have a very clear verse in Surah Ibrahim that says, on that day when the إذ قضي الأمر, when the judgment is, وقال الشيطان إذ قضي الأمر إن الله وعدكم وعد الحق ووعدتكم فأخلفتكم وما كان لي عليكم من سلطان. Allah gave you right promise and I gave you wrong promise, and now I renege in all my promises, and I didn't have any power over you, I just called you. Now this اتباع, following, is not by force. If it's by force, of course, Allah will not punish anyone. Allah would, if someone is follows someone or something by force, of course, Allah is just. There is no responsibility. But this ittiba means that I did follow with my own free will, with my own choice, I followed. Now, if I follow someone with my own choice, then on the day of judgment, if they are wrong, if they are not authorized by Allah to be followed, then on the day of judgment, they say, well, you shouldn't have followed us. We cannot do anything for you. إِذْ تَبَرَّ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبُوا مِنَ الَّذِينَ اتَّبَعُوا وَرَأَوُوا الْعَذَابُ. And they see the punishment, they see the chastisement. Again, I said what chastisement means here. وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ. All means are cut off. Either all sort of connections between these two, those who follow and those who are followed, are cut off, or every means of recourse for human being is cut off. There is nothing, of course, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there, وَتَقَطَّعَتْ بِهِمُ الْأَسْبَابُ وقال الذين اتبعوا للذين اتبعوا وقال الذين اتبعوا لو أن لنا كرة فنتبرأ منهم كما تبرأوا منا. And those who followed them would say, had there been another turn for us, if we could just return to the world, and we would have disowned them the way they now disown us. This disowning means that the false illusions about benefits of things will go away in that world, and everything would show itself in light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Every power would belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now they say, if we had another chance to go back to the world, and we just disown them and only worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we could do that, كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حسرات عليهم. In this way, Allah shows them their deeds as regrets for themselves. Now, on that day, it's not only them who see their a'mal. Everyone would see their a'mal. We see our action. That is actually a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the wisdom of Allah. It is caring attitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that keeps every action for us to give it back on the day of judgment. It is good for good people, but it will be bad for bad people, certainly. So these a'mal, when they are given to them, they regret. يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. They will be regret, point of regret for them. وَمَا هُمْ بِخَارِجِينَ مِنَ النَّارِ. And they will not come out of hell. This one, inshallah, I will talk about next week, how people would remain in hell forever and why they remain in hell forever, as we have, and who would remain in hell forever, actually. We'll discuss this next week. But one hadith I want to mention here about this, كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهِمُ اللَّهِ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. There is a hadith from Imam Al-Baghir alayhi salam, who says that إِنَّهُ قَالَ هُوَ الرَّجُلُ. One of the examples of these people who saw power in money, who saw prosperity in wealth, and who were so attached to, and that this shows that these andad are not only idols. I mean things. They may be things. هُوَ الرَّجُلُ يَكْتَسِبُ الْمَالَ وَلَا يَعْمَلُ فِيهِ خَيْرًا. A person who earns some wealth but doesn't do anything good in it, doesn't give charity, doesn't help people. فَيَرِثُهُ مَنْ يَعْمَلُ فِيهِ عَمَلًا صَالًا. Then someone inherits that money. I have, for example, earned £1 million. I haven't done anything good with it. I haven't spent it for my family, for my friends, for the poor, the needy. Then my son inherits that. Okay. And this son do all those things with it, with that money. This son do all those things with that money. فَيَرَى الْأَوَّلُ مَا كَسَبَهُ حَسْرَةً فِي مِيزَانَ غَيْرِهِ. Now, all the reward will go in the balance of the son, isn't it? Now he says, it was my money. You inherited it. You, why nothing comes to me? Well, of course, you didn't spend it. He did spend it in those good things. And this would become a point of regret. Why I did not spend anything. There's one story, very interesting story, that there was a very wealthy man in Medina, and he had lots of date palms and lots of dates stored. He came to the Prophet, peace be upon him, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, all these, I authorize you that you give all this, all my wealth after I die, to the poor, to these muhajirun who have come, they have nothing. And he died, and there was huge amount of date palm trees, and Prophet distributed all of it. And then everyone said, Ya Rasulullah, how lucky this man is. You distributed all his wealth among us. There was one very dried and small date. The Prophet said, I swear by God, had he given this in his lifetime to a needy person, would have been much more, much greater in reward than all this that I gave after his death. This is كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهُمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. There's another hadith in Al-Kafi, which says, هُوَ الرَّجُلْ يَدَعُ مَالَهُ لَا يُنْفِقُهُ فِي تَعَةِ اللَّهِ بُخْلًا. Someone, because he's miserly, does not spend any money in charity, then he dies and someone inherits it, he uses it either in ta'atullah or in ma'asiyatullah. If he uses it in ma'asiyatullah, he will be punished for it as well. If he uses it in ta'atullah, he will not be rewarded for it. This is كَذَلِكَ يُرِيهُمُ اللَّهُ أَعْمَالَهُمْ حَسَرَاتٍ عَلَيْهِمْ. Then there is one other thing in Majma' al-Bayan about this ayah that I will leave that, inshallah, for next week as well. وَسَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَآلِهِ الطَّاهِرِينَ.
Thank you, Sheikh. Nice one for ending today's lecture. So we continue with some further discussion. 10, 15 minutes. Any brothers, sisters? Yeah, Riyadh.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. I can see this ayat leading to the subject of shafaat and the other associated things that somebody might imagine. But I'd like to just for a minute dwell on the beginning of the ayat where it says the followers. You see, now there is a responsibility on the leaders. We all know that they have to be above board and they have to think twice before inviting people.
Yeah.
But can we blame the people who are following? Because, for example, 100 years ago, there was a chief in the village and everybody had to follow him. That would be forcibly following, yes. Yes? But if you transpose it to now, we have maybe technology and maybe we are following the ilm as opposed to a person. So if somebody is depending too much on, for example, Googling everything and they've got all the results and they're following a particular thing called knowledge or the pursuit of. So in the heart there is purity, but obviously we all know that it could be wrong. So at that time you are following something which you believe will take you closer to God. So as a follower, how much responsibility can I bear? Because I could be wrong and I might not find out until I die. So I have followed in the love of Allah something or someone which I believe to be close to Allah.
If, as the ayah says, if you equate them to Allah, okay? If you do not equate them to Allah, you say, okay, I'm following their knowledge. And knowledge is something which belongs to everyone. I may, for example, have found out something, but that knowledge, when it is disclosed, it belongs to everyone. So if I have followed a knowledge, then I have not equated that person with Allah. If I follow someone in the sense that in disobedience of God, that means when I'm equating those people to God. Now, I didn't understand what you said about shafa'a. What was that about shafa'a you said at the beginning?
Because it does extensively point out that if you believe in something and give it the power of God.
Yes.
So we've been through this discussion before, so I didn't want to...
No, shafa'a, you know, you see, we have la ilaha illallah, isn't it? La ilaha, there is no God, illallah, except Allah. La yashfa'una, they do not do shafa'a, illa liman irtadha, except for those that Allah is pleased with. So we cannot deny shafa'a. Shafa'a is an authorized act. We don't see any power for the shafi'. If we see power independently for the shafi', this is andad. These are andad, okay? We don't see any independent power for anyone. Say, be it Jibreel, Prophet, A'imma, but there are some people who are close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Allah authorizes them to do these things. This is not net. This is, again, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is believing in Allah, relying in Allah. And shafa'a is just to receive that mercy through
authorized.
Have you ever thought about this? Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. You know, kawthar is a river in heaven that all people of heaven would drink from it. And that's the best sort of drink in heaven. Now, to whom does it belong? No, to the Prophet. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. We have given this to you. It belongs to the Prophet. But who has given it to him? Allah has given. But it comes from the... It belongs to him, actually. And if we are drinking from it, it is his benevolence, it is his property that we are using in paradise. But who has given it to him? Allah. And therefore, if things are in line with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's not net. When we put them horizontally beside Allah, saying that Allah is something, these are other things, then that becomes andad. Yeah.
Just on the andad, the word, does it come from anything that we know in Arabic?
No, it's ned. Ned is the singular, means mesl. equal. And yes, he says that. They say al-mithlul munawe, something which is similar and in contradistinction. That's the meaning of net. The plural is andat.
Thank you, sisters.
Sorry?
Khasm.
Enemy.
Yeah. Not equal. No. Net also will be equal. Has two meanings. Okay. Could
khasm is probably a metaphorical meaning, a figurative meaning of it. Mm-hmm. The original meaning is al-mithlul munawe. This is what all exegetes have mentioned. As an equal, which contradistincts the is similar.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Brothers?
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. I'm just having a little bit of difficulty. It's almost like a catch-22 situation for me. You said that Allah continuously sends blessings on every human being, and every human being. And then there are people who continue to do very good work that Allah is very pleased with, but there are individuals who say a lie, or individuals like Yazid and Umar Saad and Shimmer who do nasty things. So does the blessing then stop or decrease or increase as people's behavior alters during the life? And if that is, if so, we say we give la'na to the people who killed Imam Hussein, and we say that the correct definition of that is that Allah reduce your blessing on them or stop your blessing on them. So my question is that, what started first? Did Allah's blessing get less, that's why they became like this? Maybe forget the killing, just simple lying. A person lying, is he born as a liar? Is his upbringing that makes him a liar? Is it the environment that makes him a liar? Or is it the reduction in Allah's blessing that made him into a liar?
When we say reduction in Allah's blessings, it is not from him. There is one very, very beautiful piece in Dua Arafah. He says, Ya Allah, how should I be disappointed from you? وَأَنْتَ مَا بَدَّلْتَ عَادَةَ الْإِمْتِنَانِ. Your habit is to bless. You never have changed that. So how can I be disappointed from you when you have not changed? If things change, it means I have changed. No, you haven't changed. I have changed. That's why that blessing doesn't come to me. You know, it's like air. Air is everywhere, all right? Let's say air is the blessing of Allah. Now, if I pollute this air, the air is there. I have polluted it. So I take polluted air in my lungs, and I harm myself. Or if I stop breathing at all, you see, the air is there. I stop breathing, and then I die. So that the blessing of Allah is like that. It is like air. It is everywhere. It is us who pollute it, who change it, who stop taking it, and that's when the la'na comes, of course. When we stop taking it, la'na comes. Yeah.
Is that clear? Or sisters, before we go back to the brothers, any sisters? No, Riyad?
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh. Thank you very much indeed for your talk today. Sheikh, just going back to partly about what Riyaz was saying, but I have a comment, not really a question, but I'd like your opinion on it. I think we're all aware that people have literal or, in fact, superficial interpretations of the Quran. And when we look at this verse, and people who have a superficial understanding of it, and also a superficial understanding of what people believe in when they revere the Prophet, peace be upon him, and the Aima alayhi salam, this could be a real indictment, because you know, their understanding is we're equating them with God and all of those things. I think we have a clear responsibility to put that right. And I think that we quite often don't state our case very well indeed at all. And you know, we distract on many of these things. But I think we ought to have, all of us individually and collectively, and especially our leadership, has a responsibility to make it very, very clear to the whole of the Ummah what exactly it is that those who revere these important personalities actually believe.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. That's absolutely correct. Thank you.
Thank you. Sisters, any sisters? Any comments from brothers? Yes, I think the brother had, you wanted to ask, then we'll go to.
Thank you very much, Sheikh. As I think is excellent, but you presented it phrase by phrase. I want to put all together, and I will see actually what I'm getting from this. First of all, you say, "Oh, people من اتخذ من الناس ناس من اتخذ من دون الله." This is a group of people. Then we say, we come later on, we say,
تبرع
الذين اتبعوا, means the leaders.
Yes.
From the people who, the followers. Okay, then we have two groups. And till they lost excuses, تقطعت بهم الأسباب. And then we say, الذين اتبعوا, means the followers. And you say, if we have another chance, we didn't do the same thing. Now, this is probably, I could see it in the Jahiliyyah time, that people, some people, they would have this confusion, lacking something, or some have different gods. They love him as much as God. But today's life is this more advanced. Therefore, I want to see how this could be applied to real life here now, because we don't have such situation.
That's why, as I said, all exegetes, early exegetes, later exegetes, they say that there are two meanings for this attaba. One is those andad, or the asnam, the idols, which they had in Jahiliyyah. The other is the leaders, min al-dhalama, the leaders who are oppressors. And people follow them because they are, for example, they like their ideas, they are infatuated by the way they put their case, and they forget Allah. They know that this is something that Allah doesn't like, but they like this more than what Allah says. And today it's very clear. We see there are many leaders, not only political leaders, intellectual leaders, who are putting forward cases, values, which we know is absolutely against the values that is set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they follow it. They follow it. Now, here it says, on the day of judgment, they would say, well, you shouldn't have followed us. We put this case against the scripture, against the book of God, and you followed it. So that's why if we take both meanings, it becomes something which is always there. Even if idolatry goes away forever, there are always people who follow certain values as against the values set by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
Thank you. Any sisters? No? Abbas?
So towards the end of your discourse, you were saying that the two sorts of people who left wealth behind, one left it to his son but didn't put it in his will, they distribute it. The second actually left it in his will to the Prophet and said, please distribute this wealth and to the needy or to the masses, are they both equal in that none of them get share from the goodness, even though one's intention was post-death distribute that wealth?
Yeah, that's what the Prophet said, isn't it? That he said, had he given this dried piece of dates in his lifetime, it would have more reward than all this that I distributed for him. Isn't it the same thing?
So does that mean we encourage, because we have a culture, I don't know if it's an Indian culture or an Islamic culture, that we leave behind wealth and then we say to our sons, we never...
That's exactly what...
Is that what you're...
Exactly. It means, yes, you will spend it in your lifetime rather than saying that after me. You know, because this attitude means what? Means that as long as I'm alive, I want to use it. When I die, instead of allowing my children to use it, I say, no, give it in charity. You see, so it doesn't work.
You think it's some abhijari because you leave it for the children and they'll spend it, but you're right, it's just exactly the same as the two.
Yeah.
But Shah, this is already
1/3. The mayyad can actually make a will about 1/3.
Yes.
That's making a will. That doesn't mean that he will have the reward the way he had done it in his lifetime. A lucky person is
but
that...
He cannot spend his second share while he's alive, can he?
He can spend all his money while he's alive.
I think this is Sheikh, I think this is a point that
I...
Sorry?
If somebody before die, and he say, okay, my 1/3 to be spent khairat.
Yes.
Can he spend it while he...
I think that's the point I'm asking. Yeah.
He can spend everything when he's alive.
Yeah.
You see, he owns 1/3 when he passes away.
Yes.
But he owes the whole money when he's alive, isn't it?
So I'm just going to confirm my understanding. There is no reward based on what you've mentioned today.
Well, there is some reward, but not like what the Prophet said, had he given this a small piece of dates.
But that's quite a damning...
You see... But there is something. I mean, for example, someone doesn't pray, and then after they die, we give money for someone to pray for them. There is something there, but it's not like when they have prayed in their lifetime.
There should be no issue with funding of Salam Center.
Absolutely. Yeah, yes, absolutely. That's true. Yeah, absolutely, you know. If you say... After I die, I give all my wealth to Salam Center.
No, but this,
it's like just that.
You know why I'm asking you this, Sheikh? When you go to Iran, when you go to the Quds al-Razvi in Mashhad, a lot of these gifts have been given to the Imam post-death, if I'm not mistaken. They left it in their wills. I leave this all to the 8th Imam's treasury.
Mm-hmm.
So this view, it's the first time I've heard this sort of... Well, I've heard of variations, but never this clear.
This is what the hadith says. I don't know.
Well, it
makes
sense.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, okay.
I think you're absolutely right. The clarity is very important. And I think, again, I just want to check my understanding. I understand this as an issue of trust in God. If you feel that you need your money because you can't actually trust God to make sure you're going to be okay till the end of your life, then you want to make sure you retain your assets or whatever it is until you're safe and in the grave and you don't need it anymore. And then it can be given away the way people want to. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it doesn't matter for us after we die what people do with it.
So exactly. Then, it's relevant to the verse when you were saying that people actually revere wealth as their God or equivalent to God.
Mm.
This is the same thing.
True.
Yeah, Mustafa. Just. Can we have the sisters first and then we'll go to...
Assalamualaikum, very interesting topic. Just want to clarify how much the predestination which is mentioned in the Quran, that you are born with certain things, you are born with certain destiny. So how will the Allah's mercy will be, suppose I'm just giving an example, if a child is born as a handicapped, and then as he go along in the family where there is a lack of money, which adds to so many other things, problems in life. And then that parents must be wondering that how does Allah, one after another, they are not that strong enough to to find the way of it, and then in everyday existence they find it difficult to cope with it. So if Allah's mercy is there, and but they can't see it, and it adds up to, suppose a child becomes a liar or a whatever it is, because he was predestined to it in Allah's book. Because that has
predestined
been...
Predestined or predisposed? Which
no,
one?
Allah has mentioned you are predestined. Am I right?
Everything in this world is predestined except what we do. What we do is not predestined. What we do is related to us. We have the free will to do.
Yeah.
But everything else, that I'm born a male, you are born a female, is predestined. It's not in our hand. That I'm born in a poor family, someone is born in a rich family, is predestined. It's not in my hand. So whatever is in this world may be predestined. The span of life, help, being handicapped or not, being whole, all is, may be predestined. But the way we act and the way we react to these things is not predestined. And that's why in many narrations we have that, for example, your rizq is guaranteed by Allah. Don't be worried about that. Be worried about something which is not guaranteed by God. And that's what you do. That is what. Now, about people with, you know, people always are different. We may see someone with some handicap, but it's very visible. But we may not see that, for example, my intelligence, my IQ, is half of others. Okay? We might see this. It's always, people are always different. Now, if Allah has, we have in hadith that if someone has a handicap, Allah will compensate that. It's in hadith of Mufazzal, when Mufazzal asks Imam Sadiq alayhi salam about it. And he says, yes, if someone has a handicap in this world, in that world, Allah will compensate for him in a way that he would have loved to come to this world with more handicap and go back again. You see? So the mercy and justice of Allah is there. The way he creates is not our concern. He might want to create some people with handicaps, some people healthy. The way we behave, either us or those who are taking care of that handicapped people or the wider society, these responsibilities are something which is important and is not predestined. It's in their hand.
Anything else you want to add? No? Okay, somebody had... Mustafa?
Yeah, just to follow the earlier discussion on regarding charity, just a comment to say that...
Whatever you want to give to Salam Center after your death, give it now.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, either you send the light before you go, or you ask your son to send the light after I go. So it's better to send the light earlier, isn't it?
No, but there is, this
if
is
the light comes, like, you know, if the light comes, yeah.
Okay. Any sisters or any brothers?
Even if, you know, sorry, for example, we leave things for our children to inherit. But if we give them to them while we are alive, it's salatul rahim, it has lots of rewards, you see? But inheritance doesn't have any rewards. Yeah. That's another benefit, courtesy of British government.
Yeah. 7 years before you die, you have to give it away. How do I do
this
tax?
Is it? Oh, I see. Okay.
Okay.
Yes, why not? Yeah, it's Selah to Rahim, isn't it? No, no. Children which, who are not under your care. Now, for example, my daughter has married. It's not under my, she's not under my caring, but she is in need. I buy a house for her, for example. You see, that is Salatul Rahim, isn't it? Yeah, anyone, I mean, yeah.
Thank you. Any sisters or brothers? The last comment or anything? No? Thank you, Sheikh Muhammad wa Ali Muhammad Salam. Shall we continue next week, inshallah?